got it.
Everybody here got something to praise God for this morning? Amen. You ought to praise him just because you got up this morning. Amen. Amen. Because he didn't have to wake you, but he did. So you ought to give him some praise. Amen. Glory be to God. Somebody in here. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a beautiful God we serve. Amen. Amen. I mean, he is beautiful. Amen. Every time I think he's done the best that he can do, he turned around and showed me he can go even higher. Amen. That's a beautiful God. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come this morning and say thank you, Master. Thank you for your grace and for your mercy, for they allowed us to get up this morning. And Master, not only did they allow us to get up this morning, but they allowed us to be able to come to the house of worship where we can sit before you and sup with you and allow you to love on us, to comfort us, to pick us up, to make us stronger, to straighten us up where perhaps we're leaning and strengthen us where we're lacking. And we come this morning asking that you do all those things for us today, Master. Because when we leave here, we don't want to be the same. We want to be better when we leave these four walls. So when we go out into the world, we can share you with them. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let the heart say amen. Amen. We now have our hymn of the hour, hymn number 508.
Church. Our psalter for this morning is a statement of faith, and it is located in the front or the back of your hymnal. We will read in unison. We believe in God, the eternal Spirit, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Father, and to his deeds we testify. He calls the worlds into being, creates man in his own image, and sets before him the ways of life and death. He seeks in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. He judges men and nations by his righteous will, declared through prophets and apostles. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Lord, He has come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death and reconciling the world to himself. He bestows upon us his Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. He calls us into his church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be his servants in the service of men, to proclaim the gospel to all the world, and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. He promises to all who trust him forgiveness of sins, fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, his presence in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life, his kingdom, which has no end. Amen. Glory be to God.
Good morning, church. Oh, good morning, church. Yes, it's me looking like this. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we are here to rejoice and be glad in it. So as we proceed this morning, that God woke us up this morning and he started us on our way, we're going to praise like that today in this church, because they say even if it's a few gathered or many, and if we're in his name, it's a great thing. So church, we're going to get it on in here this morning, and it's going to be our pleasure to do so. It is my pleasure to welcome any visitors that we might have visiting with us this morning. Folks that stop by, we're not talking about those that are coming with us every Sunday. We're delighted to see you and your smiling faces. You will never have to stand because you're here with us all the time. Natalie, we're glad to see you back with us. You've been away, but God always sends you back to us, and we're glad to have you with us this morning. Are there others? Do we have anyone visiting with us? I've looked around. I don't want to omit anyone. So if you are visiting with this morning, please be acknowledged. You don't have to stand up. You can just wave at me if you like. We're one big happy family this morning. Thank you so very much. Here we go again, and here we grow again, church. On last Sunday, Virginia Joyce Harper joined our church family. Jenny? I affectionately refer to her as Jenny Church because we have known each other for over 50 years. When I matriculated at Alabama State and came to Alabama State University, Jenny adopted me and carried me to meet her mom and her family, and I carried her to meet my mom and grandmother and my family. So to have her come, and I was just blown away last Sunday, but Jenny, to have you come and join our family, our church family, I want you to know this morning, as my dear friend, we rejoice in your presence and we welcome you into our family of believers. Thank you so very much. And church, we baptized two of our newest members last Sunday as well, Kalia Brooks and Carmelo Hicks. And they were so graceful in their baptism. It was just a spiritual moment for us. Church, we're growing. And to all this morning, I say to Kalia and to Virginia and to Carmelo, to God be the glory. for the things that he's doing for us. New members training. Now, I've got to do this because we're taking in new members in this church. So, church, I want you to bear with me and listen to this for just a moment. A new members training, an update on why we do what we do and who we are, will be called very soon. We have not had a new members training and orientation in quite a while. So we will be calling members that joined in the last 2 years. In the last 2 years, if you join this church, we're going to be calling you for this orientation. And why we're doing this update on who we are and why we do what we do, seasoned members. Yes, I said seasoned. Members, you're going to be invited to come and partake in this membership training that we're going to do. I think it will be a blessing for all of us. So we're going to do that very soon. It will serve as a refresher for some, and others will get to know what we do. Church, I am adjusting the church directory this week. And I am working with the one call. Now, several of you are telling me that you're not getting the one call. So that's the way we communicate with each other. So before leaving church today, if you're not getting the one call, I want you to come get me. Come stop me and say, I'm still not getting the one call. And we're going to find out why you're not getting the one call. Real soon, I want to tell you this, real soon, we're now getting prepared to take our photos for the directory. So we're getting everything ready. So you got to get ready so you can be in the directory with your photo. That'll help the pastor out and all of us out as well. So we're going to be doing that real soon. And we'll let you know what Sunday we're going to take these photos. We're going to bring you in on Sunday while you're here. And we'll take the photos immediately following church. Y'all, this month is a busy month for birthdays. And when I say it's a busy month for birthdays, it is. So I'm just going to hit this week and what's coming. Daryl Sinkfield is not here because he already celebrating his birthday on 5-4. Reginald Miller is not here because he's celebrating, and his birthday is on 5-4. Florette Sinkfield is in Atlanta, and she's going to be celebrating, and her birthday is on 5-5. Stephon Crum is in the choir this morning, and he's going to be celebrating on 5-6. And Valora Ford is in the choir, and she's going to be celebrating on 5-7, and then we have Chase Bass that's coming up, and he's going to be celebrating on the 10th. So this is going to be one busy birthday week. And as we wish them a happy birthday, and I told Mrs. Ford this morning when I was talking to her early, it's just a blessing to have a birthday. And I'm saying that to all of you. Even more so, a blessing to have a birthday, but to be serving the Lord. Yes, it is. And we got anniversaries coming up at the end of the month, and I'll tell you about that as well. Church, I've covered everything, and I'm finished for this morning. But this is what I want to give you, two things this morning. You get two today instead of one. I want you to do this for me this week, church. I want you to get up in the morning and look in the mirror. I want you to know who you are and whose you are. I want you to praise God for your very being. And most of all, this is something I want you to do for me. Find time to praise and worship him. And that's important. Now, the last thing before I tell you to have a blessed week, everybody in here, you need to hear this one. Mother's Day is coming.
Thank you.
praise the Lord. Amen. Y'all sound good out there. Amen. Give God some praise in here. Yourself a hand clap of praise. Amen. 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 That was beautiful. Amen. And we got some people who are sitting out there who needs to be sitting up here. Amen. I'm going to tell y'all a little secret about me. I was a drum major in high school, so I can hear notes. And some of those notes that I was hearing that was in tune were not coming from there, but coming from out there. So there's some folks out there who needs to be up here. Amen. That's all I'm going to say about that. Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Thank you. And now I know what I need to be praying for. Amen. I'm praying for some of y'all to get out y'all seats. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father God, we come now to say thank you. For we are always thankful, Master, for who you are in our lives. Because, Master, your love for us extend beyond these four walls and travel with us when we leave this place. Your love keeps us when we're on the road. Your love keep us when we're flying in the air. Your love keep us when we're sitting amongst people whom we do not know. Your grace and your mercy is always traveling with us. And your love locks us in. So we come this morning to say thank you. Although there's a lot of chaos in this world and there's a lot of evil things happening in this world, we are protected because we walk with your love. So we come this morning and say thank you, Master, for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercy, and thank you for your grace. And Master, we want to thank you for your word. For your word undergird us and give us strength and give us the power to be able to stand even when no one else is standing. So we come this morning and say thank you. You're such a good God, we can't find the words to thank you enough. But one thing we can say is hallelujah to your holy name. For your name is worthy to be praised, Master. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your name, Master. And thank you for the power that's in your name. For when we find ourselves in situations, all we have to do is call on the name of Jesus. Is that the name of Jesus that enemies flee? Is that the name of Jesus do our devils stop because they have no power against the name of Jesus? So come this morning and say thank you for your name. Thank you for the power that's in your name. Thank you for giving us the wherewithal to call on your name when we need you. And right now, Master, we need you. So we call on your name. We call on the name of Jesus in this place today because we need you, Master, like we never needed you before. Today, Master, we need you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being our God. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. We ask now that the officers will come for the purpose of tithing and offering. Father God, we come now to say thank you, Master, for these gifts that have been given here today. And we pray, Master, that we use them to uplift your kingdom. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen.
Oh,
Touches me in that song when it says, "For I have touched the hem of his garment." And then it goes on and says, "And his blood has made me whole." Has his blood made anyone in here whole today? Amen. Well, you ought to let God know that you're thankful for his blood making you whole. Amen. Give God some praise in here today. For surely he is worthy to be praised. Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 3. A familiar passage of scripture. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And while you are looking for that, let me say that our graduates are in the house today. Amen. If our graduates would please stand. Amen. Amen. We are so proud of you. Amen. 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 Pastor won't bust you today. We'll talk at the door. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And it reads, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked in alms. And Peter, fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk.' Amen. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." Amen. Just for a moment, I would like to talk from the subject, why do we come to church? Why? Let that set in for a second. Do we come to church? My proposition for you is this. If your attendance is intentional, God will meet you at your expectations. Let me say that again. If your attendance is intentional, God will meet you at your expectations. Church, I would like to, as you see already, open this message by asking you that question. And I want you to make it personal. Why do you come to church? I learned in my 28 years of serving in ministry that people come to church for various reasons. You will hope that most of us come because we have built a relationship with God and because he instructed us to come and join together. When we look in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, not forsaking the solemn assembly, the gathering of yourselves together. He asks for us to come and be with each other in the assembly. He wants us to work with each other. As a matter of fact, the author expressed that in this chapter that God cleanses us. Amen. In this assembly. Not only does he cleanse us in this assembly, but in this assembly he placed his spirit in your heart. And not only do he place his spirit in your heart, but he prepared you for the day of his return. And so my question to you, my brothers and my sisters this morning, why do you come to church? And some of us come because our parents brought us. And some of us come because we feel that we're obligated morally because we are Christians. It's our Christian duty to come. Others come because it's part of our family's tradition. Your mother and daddy raised you in the church, so you come because it's part of your tradition. And some of them come because we have positions in the church. And maybe we're the moderator, the deacon, or the head trustee. So we come out of obligation because of our position. Some of us come to hear good singing and to be entertained. We want the choir to sing our favorite song. And if our choir that we like ain't singing, we ain't coming. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. So some of us come simply to be entertained. And then there are a few of us who come to find a husband for a wife. I don't know why y'all laughing. Y'all know that's the reason why a lot of y'all came initially to church, because they said you can find a good man or a good woman in the church. And so that's the reason why we start going to church. And then there's those of us who are business-minded people. We come to make network connections. Somebody can help us out. Somebody can get us to where we want to be. Somebody can get us over the hump. Well, my brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, whatever the reason is why you're coming, I want you to know God is excited that you're here. He doesn't need for your intentions to be perfect. Amen. But what he needs is for your attention and for your expectations to be with you when you get here. So no matter why you come, just keep on coming. Don't stop coming. Keep coming. Even if the folks look at you strange and they may know why you're here, that doesn't matter. What matters is you are in the place where you ought to be. Somebody give God some praise. Because sometimes God has to lead us, or shall I say, guide us in a different fashion to get us to where we need to be, because many of us are fearful of hearing God's voice. When we hear his voice, we have a tendency to run versus to follow. So sometimes God has to get you a different way. Just as long as he gets you here, it doesn't matter how you got here. The fact is, you're here. And while you are here, God needs for you to pay attention. And not pay attention to the preacher, but pay attention to him. Because when you recognize the presence of God, if your expectations are where they need to be, God said, I will meet you at your expectation. So once again, my brothers and sisters, why are you here? When we look at this man in the text, we see he went to church not to praise God. He didn't go to church to get a better relationship with God. He went there to do something different. He went to church and had people to take him to church so he could beg for money. And I want you to know that when the Bible says that he was sitting at the gate, there's proof that he was sitting actually in the inner court. He was sitting right outside the door where the men go in to worship. And see, back then, there were four parts of the temple. Those who were blind and considered to be heathens, or shall I say Gentiles, and those who were lame, they were appointed to be in the very outer courts of the temple. And then just beyond them was the court for the women. And just beyond the court for the women, that was considered to be the inner court where the men worshiped. And just beyond the men's worship was where the veil of God was, where the priests worshiped. And they can only go behind the veil if they were clean and prepared. So this man was actually sitting at the gate, or shall I say at the door, where the men were to go in to worship. And so he was looking for a good man. Some of us come to church looking for a good man. When we ought to be coming looking for the man. Or shall I say, we ought to be coming looking for God. Anytime you get up out of your bed and come to church, you ought not to be coming to see the preacher or come to hear the choir. You ought to be coming to meet God when you get here. That's why you ought to be coming to church. You ought not be coming out of obligation because I told them I would come, or I'm part of this piece of the ministry, or a part of this ministry. But I come to church every Sunday morning so I can see God. Because he told me that he would dwell there. Amen. But this man, he was looking for a man who had resources, or someone who had power or the ability to change the hopelessness of his situation. And he wasn't looking for a long-term fix. He was looking for a temporary fix. Amen. And that's the problem with many of us today. We come to church looking for a temporary fix versus looking for God to change us, which will make us have a long-term fix. A lot of times our problem ain't our situation, it's us. Huh? And God needs to change us in order to fix our situation.
Amen.
Because how can he fix your situation if you still the same? I remember when the city started the project of pulling people out of the projects and putting them in neighborhoods, but they didn't help the people change their mindset. So the project mentality left the project and made its way to regular neighborhoods. Same thing with you when it comes to spiritual things. If God can't change you and fix you, then no matter what your situation is, you still the same.
Amen.
But in order for your situation to become better, God has got to change you. I remember when I was going through with my first marriage, I said, God, I don't know what's wrong with her. God said, what's wrong with you? You looking at her, and maybe you're the problem. Maybe I need to fix you. And if I fix you, then the problem will change. Sometimes we're looking at the wrong person. Sometimes the person that need to be fixed is us. But because we have those things over our eyes, we don't look at ourselves, we look at other people. But God says, I need to fix you. And the only way God can fix you, you must come to the solemn assembly, the gathering of yourself together, because he said that he has a word for you that will change you. You come here for seeds to be planted. Sometimes when you come, you say, well, it's almost like the preacher was preaching at me. Well, the preacher don't know about your situation, but God does.
Amen.
God need to reach you, and he'll use the preacher to reach you. And the preacher won't know anything about your business, but God knows everything. We come to church not to be the same. If you come here and you're the same as you was when you first started, then that's a problem. You ought to be different by now.
Yes.
Something should be better about you than it was when you first started coming.
Amen.
It don't make no sense to come to church and all this time you're spending, you ain't becoming anything that God called you to be. This man was looking for a temporary fix when God says, I have the real fix.
Amen.
And it amazed me that at his request, Peter and John stopped. And not only did they stop, but their response I found fascinating. It was fascinating to me because they didn't require much of him. They didn't ask him, how long had you been a member here? They didn't ask, how long had you been in your situation? The only thing that Peter said is, look on us. Now, when you study the scripture, you understand he said a lot. Because what he was basically telling him, that if you humbled yourself, listen now, if you humble yourself and submit yourself to God, God got something better than what you're asking for.
All right.
You are asking for a temporary fix that's of monetary value, but God has something that's better than that.
Hmm.
The old folks used to say it like this. Either you can give a man a fish and he can eat for a day or two, or you can teach a man to fish and he'll eat for life. Sometimes we are the people who just want that fish for a day or two, and we ought to be the ones who telling God, give us the ability to fish so we can be good for life.
Amen.
Sometimes we're looking at our situation the wrong way when we ought to look at it differently. You want a temporary fix when God says, I have the whole fix for you right now. But all thing you have to do is submit yourself.
Amen.
Humble yourself to God. So when you come to church, you ought to do what? Submit yourself to God. Humble yourself to God. And when you submit yourself to God and humble yourself to God, he won't ask much of you. It's amazing how we add all this extra stuff when God is about simplicity. Salvation is not hard. Salvation is just giving your life, which you ought to do anyway, because he gave his life for you. But sometimes we are asking for the wrong thing, because we don't know what we really need.
Amen.
This man thought he needed money, but Peter shared with him something that he didn't even request. He shared God with him. And Peter said unto him, such as I have, give I thee. And then the Bible says that Peter reached down with his right hand and took his right hand. Y'all wonder why preachers give you the right hand of fellowship? Because in the Bible, it teaches that God's power is in his right hand. His right hand is where his righteousness lives. His right hand is where his might is. So when a preacher gives you his right hand, he's giving you the hand of God. And when you got the hand of God, that's all you need in life. Somebody ought to give God some praise here. The Bible says Peter gave him his right hand. And when he gave him his right hand, before he got up, the Bible says, strength. Y'all don't hear me. Before you can respond to what God has done for you, you got power in your body.
Amen.
Before you can respond for what God has done, you got power in your situation. Before you even realize that you have deliverance, oh, somebody ought to give God some praise in here. I'm trying to tell you, before you even know it, God has already blessed you. gave him his right hand. And the Bible says Peter fastened his eyes on him and told him to look on us. Let me share something with you. James 4:10 says this: humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And here's the blessed part: and he shall lift you up. Mm. When you come to church, you ought to be looking for God. Mm. You ought to humble yourself. You ought to submit yourself. But then you ought to have expectation that God is going to lift you. I just told you how to get your blessing. Nobody said a thing. Because some of us come and we humble ourselves, but we have no expectation.
Amen.
You come humble, but you don't expect anything. Some of you come expecting, but you ain't humble. You want to see God, but when you get here, your spirit ain't humbled.
Amen.
Your mind ain't right. Your soul is not right. But the Bible says if you come humble and expecting, God will find you at your expectation and he'll lift you to the next level. Somebody ought to give God some praise. The Bible says that when Peter grabbed him by the right hand and lifted him up, that his feet gained strength. His ankles gained strength. His legs gained strength. And this is a man who had been crippled all the days of his life. So I came to tell you, no matter how long you've been in that situation, if you come to the house of God and you are humble and you will expect God to move, God will give you his right hand. He will lift you out your situation. You will find yourself in a better place because now you got strength and power where you didn't have strength and power. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here. Why you come to church? Why you come to church? Huh? I don't play when I come to church. This ain't just a building where we call on the name of a man that we can't see. And where occasionally we stretch out a table and we drink wine in his remembrance and eat bread in his remembrance. This is a holy place.
Amen.
Where God lives and God abides. God said wherever he places his name, he will be there. And if God is there, the power of God is there. And somebody ought to be receiving the power of God. Why we come to church? Some of us come in here and we want to leave as fast as we get here. Huh? And then we put God on the back burner. I get to you when I can. When he is the one who give you all that you have. And then once you have expected to receive from God and receive from God, you ought to praise God. The Bible says that this man jumped up and he went into the temple, which means he went into the court of men and he praised God amongst the men. And the Bible says that he leaped and shouted and praised God. When God do for you, you ought to give him some praise. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And if you're redeemed by God, you ought to give God the praise. You ought to worship God every time you get a chance. The Bible says, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here. Because you got breath in your body. And God has redeemed you. He has saved you. He has delivered you. He has lifted you up. He has made you better than you ever been before. Somebody ought to give God some praise. Because he's worthy to be praised. Has God delivered anybody in here? Has God healed anybody in here? Has God helped anybody in here? Has God made a way out of no way for anybody in here? Has God touched anybody in his body? Has God touched anybody in his mind? Has God made all situations work out for your good? Somebody ought to give God some praise in here, because we come to church to praise our God. Give God the praise. The doors of my Father's house are now open. If there would be one, the time is now. And the Bible says, find God while he is near, for surely there shall come a time when God cannot be found. Doors of my Father's house are now open. If there will be one, do not know God in the free pause of your sins, the time is now. God, we come now to say thank you, Master, for this grace, for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you now, Master, that you will be with us as we leave this place. Watch over, protect us, and keep us. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name we do now pray. Now let all God's children sing.